God is so, so good. The kids are going to stay in service today. God put it on my heart over 4 years ago to do healing and miracle services, and we do them once a month, and normally they're on Saturday evenings, but we're not religious about, he didn't tell me it had to be a Saturday night. We usually do a dinner, invite people in and feed them, and then give them the Word of God, and we see miracles each and every time. Before I go any further, is there anybody that knows they were healed during worship this morning? Just slip up your hand. Is there anybody that knows you feel different? Check yourself. Check yourself. Did you come in with something and it's gone? Somebody in the back. In almost every service, we've had somebody get their miracle, get their healing during worship time. And I usually talk beforehand and say, look, just go before God. Just you and Him. Don't worry about anything else that's going on in life. He knows what's going on in your life. He's the one that's got the answer. He's the one that's got your breakthrough. He's the one that's got your healing. If you need a new kidney, He's got new kidneys. I mean, He created you. It's not too hard for Him to put a new kidney in. Is there anybody here that's got kidney trouble? Anybody? I believe by the Spirit of God, you're being healed right now. God is a good God. He only has good things for us. This service, our Faith Alive, our ministry, is so not religious. So not religious. I hate religion. Jesus hated religion. It's about relationship. A relationship with your Maker. And when you come into that relationship, now He's your dad. Jesus is your big brother. Holy Spirit comes inside of you to live. You know, we sing that song. I love that song. But you know, we don't have to ask God to send the Holy Spirit. He's inside us. He's already inside you. You don't have to pray and hope that He's somewhere way off going to hear it. No, He's inside of you. If you are hoping, then you're not in faith, and we need to teach you about faith. Because faith says, I take it now. Faith says, I receive it. So having the kids stay in today, I need three kids to help me out. One, two, three, jump up and come up here. The Middleton kids, why are not I surprised? What happens when kids get involved? Got any idea? You usually get stuff, don't you? All right, if each of you would go over and grab one of those balloons and come back here. So you're going to help me for a little bit. And then we're going to get the adults involved in the service as well. Would that be okay? Okay. So what we've got here, I'm going to read a couple scriptures and then we're going to let you loose. Open your Bibles to Luke chapter 5. Luke, the fifth chapter. God has made available many ways to heal you. I've come up with about a dozen. And you only need one of them. You only need one of them. And so I want to look at the Word here. And Jesus is going to help us. In Luke chapter 5, in the second part of verse 15, could we put that up there? Luke 5 and 15. It says, however, the report went around concerning him, Jesus, all the more, and great multitudes. That's a whole bunch of people. Great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities or their sicknesses or their diseases. I want you to notice what's going on here. First, they came. They came. In my Bible, I put a little one there and circled it. Number two, they came together to hear. So they came to hear Jesus. So that's number two. You can write in your Bible. If you can't, we sell Bibles at the bookstore you can write in. I said there's no religion here. You can write in it and mark it up, and I've got mine all highlighted. And so they came to hear and to be healed. Now the Lord spoke to me about that phrase, and to be healed by him. And as I looked at it, they came together to hear and to be healed. And you could read it a different way. You could say, and they came to be healed by him. Or you could read it, they came to be healed by him. Or you could read it, they came to be healed by him. Now, whichever way you read it and emphasize it, you could still receive what God's got in there for you. And so, turn over to the next page over, and well, in my Bible, Luke chapter 6, verse 17. And Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place with a crowd of his disciples. And look at this, a great multitude showed up again of people from Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Again, they came to hear him and to be healed. So they had heard about Jesus. They had heard, why did the multitudes come? Because they heard he was healing. And if a multitude came because he was healing, it must have been there was a whole bunch of sick folk. But notice it says they came to hear him and be healed. Or they came to hear him and be healed. Or they came to hear him and be healed. So the title of my message, short message today, is hear and be healed. Or it could be hear and be healed. Or it could be hear and be healed. Your choice. You got three choices. Don't you like choices? Okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to have you guys go up to some people here. And I'm going to give you a Sharpie. These are permanent markers, so don't go marking up your brother's face or anything. Okay? All right. And we're going to ask them what their favorite healing scripture is. And then, if they say Mark 16:15, then just put Mark 16:15 on here. And we're going to write on here, okay? Okay, so here's your Sharpie. And you just go out, and you go out. And so I'm sending you out. Jesus sent out the disciples. I'm sending you guys out. Okay? And you got a long string, Paris, so watch it. So, they're going to come back. Well, just find somebody else that knows an address, because we need an address. This is kind of test time for the adults. See if they've been listening all year. But anyway, they're going to come back, and they're going to bring me the balloons, and then we're going to talk about it for a minute. But yesterday, when I went to retrieve my my Bible out of my office, Deb had brought the mail in, and in the mail, there's this nice wrapper that came in the newspaper, and it says, "Healthy hearing, healthy life." And that just went off in me. Healthy hearing, healthy life. You can come and hear the word of God and you can have a healthy life. And I guess this is an ad for some hearing aid company, but they're helping me preach today. Healthy hearing, healthy life. Jesus said in Mark 4 verse 9, actually you can put it up there so they can see. He said, "Let them who have ears to hear, let them hear." in Mark 4, 9. He repeated it in verse 23 as well. Let them who have ears to hear, let them hear. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about your spiritual ears. He's talking about you hearing in your heart. He's not talking about you hearing here, although you do need to hear. You can read the word aloud and hear it, because the Bible says in Romans 10, 17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you hear the word of God, faith comes. What's faith? Faith is what pleases God and is necessary for you to receive anything from him. Whether it be salvation, for those of you that got saved at one point in your life, you heard the word, right? You heard the message. Get me a bunch of them. And then you received it, you believed it, then you received him. So you had to hear first. And then you had to do something about what you heard. Faith, in its simplest form, is acting on what you believe. It's acting on what you believe. So what do you believe? In the natural, let me give a natural example for faith. Let's say, Danny? It's not my fault, they look alike. But let's say David, let's say David needed a ride to the airport tomorrow morning, and his brother Danny said, I'll give you a ride. And let's just say you lived in this area for whatever sake. And you say, what time you need to be there? He said, well, we need to be there at 9, so let's leave at 8 o'clock. It's about an hour to Manchester. So he said, okay, I'll pick you up at 8 o'clock. Okay? And so David gets up that morning, and he showers, and he has some breakfast, and brushes his teeth, I hope, and gets things ready, gets his suitcase, and he goes, he's all ready for Danny to pick him up. Now, what guarantee does he have that he's going to show up and give him a ride? He doesn't have a guarantee other than Danny said, I'll do it. So he acted on what he believed. He believed his brother wouldn't stand him up, and he acted. He got prepared and got ready. Maybe he said, be out at the road at the end of the driveway, and he did that, and he's waiting. He's looking up the road. But he's got no guarantee other than Danny's word. Now, we know Danny's word is good, but God's word is the truth. God's word will never let you down. You know, Danny might not intend to let him down, but might got a flat tire or got stopped for speeding, which is probably more the case, right? Or slept in. And he just might not have had shown up and done what he said he'd do. But we can count on God. So when we hear the word of God, we can know that because the word is alive. I love Hebrews 4 and 12. I'm just going to read that quickly out of the Amplified, because it shows us what God's word really is. It shows us, chapter 4, come on, verse 12. For the word, I love this, that God speaks. See, when you're hearing the word of God, God's speaking to you. For the word that God speaks, how are we doing, kids? How many are we finding that don't know the addresses? You haven't counted. Oh, my goodness. There's lots of them. All right, we're staying late today. Learn some scripture addresses. For the word that God speaks is alive, number one. It's alive. It's not just ink on a page. It's not just a book like a novel like Dickens wrote and great, you know, novels and whatever, but it's alive. There's something about this word that's alive and full of power. It's full of power. It will get the job done. It will get you saved and get you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son. It will heal your body. It will take cancer and eradicate it from your body instantly. And so there's something about the word. That's why Jesus taught the word. They came to hear him. He didn't just say, okay, multitudes line up. We're going to have healing line. He didn't do that. Could he have? I suppose he could have. But that's not what it's recorded in the word. It says he taught them. He preached. He taught them. There was another instance where he was at, I believe it was at his house. Remember when the four crazy guys, the guy with the four crazy friends, they came to the house. The house was full, but they're tired of going playing stickball with this guy on a stretcher. It's weighing them down. They can't play ball the way they want to because they got to drag their buddy along. He's paralyzed. They get to the house. You can't get in. It's not even standing room only. It's like you can't get in the building. But they didn't give up. They looked up. And they went up on the roof and they cut a hole and they let him down in front of Jesus. That's crazy faith. But you know, Jesus didn't say, what are you doing? You're messing up my meeting. The stuff coming down in their hair and the tiles are being ripped off. And what do you boys think you're doing? Can't you? How disrespectful of Jesus that you'd do this and interrupt a meeting. Jesus said, he saw their faith. Is what he saw their faith. How do you see faith? It's a corresponding action. David ran out to the end of the driveway waiting for Danny. He had a corresponding action. He is ready to be picked up at 8 o'clock. And so those boys got him up there, let him down. Jesus comments afterwards, I've never seen faith so great. No, not in all of Israel. I've never seen such great faith. That was great faith. What was it? It was tenacious. They weren't giving up. They could have said, well, I guess we might as well go home. The meeting's full. They could have come up with a lot of excuses, but you know what? I believe they've been dragging him around long enough. They finally said, if Jesus can heal him, we're getting him to him. See, they had bulldog faith. They weren't giving up. They looked up and they said, you know what, boys, we just tear the roof off and get him right down in Jesus' lap. And they did, and he did, and the man got healed. Okay, how are we doing, kids? Good. Okay. So the word of God is powerful. And so they came to hear him and to be healed. Hear and be healed. Well, that didn't go over that well. This is for you. You've got to be willing to hear and be healed. So you've got to have a corresponding action when you hear the word of God, and in a minute we're going to see what the word is that they're coming back with, that you folks have favorite scriptures on healing, and we're going to see that word applied, and you need to apply it to your life if you need healing this morning. How many, by show of hands, need a touch from God this morning? Just slip up your hands. My goodness, it's half of you. You know what? They don't freak out God. He's not gonna say, well, I can heal these three, but I don't have time for these, you know, because we got celebration to do. And we do, but the cake can wait. I'll even be so bold, I'll duck behind the pulpit. The Patriots can wait. They throw things at me when I make it late for the ball game. Red Sox already got it, so we're good there. Okay, so where did I leave you? They came to hear and be healed. And you know, there's not one time in Scripture recorded that people who pressed in toward Jesus to get healing, there's not one time recorded that somebody didn't get healed. Every single one of them that wanted healing got healed. Multitudes, multitudes. There was, and back then, I mean, Jesus had not been killed and raised up again. So this is really still in old covenant time, but they believed the word. See, Jesus is the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, John 1:1. And the word dwelt among us and became flesh. But Jesus is still the word. Revelation 19:13, it says that, and his name shall be called the word of God, in reference to Jesus. Jesus and the Word are inseparable. He was God, the Word, before he came as baby Jesus. And he healed 2,000 years ago, and he's still healing today. And when you put your trust in him, when you put your faith, when you have a corresponding action. Let me just give, they're doing a good job, aren't they? My goodness. I'll give you one more illustration in the natural for faith and what faith is. How many all know that we need to eat? My congregation knows this. You need to eat to sustain your body and to keep from dying. And we can go about 40 days and then it's splat. You know, we have to have physical food for our physical bodies. Okay? So how many believe, raise your hands by saying this, how many believe that if you eat food, it will keep you from dying? Raise your hand if you believe that. Okay? So we all come to an understanding and a belief. I believe that if I eat food, it will keep me from starving to death. But you know, you could sit in the midst of an entire gourmet meal and you could sit there and look at it and you could fall over dead, believing that it would keep you from dying because you didn't eat it. The eating part is the faith part. I'll say that again. The eating part is the faith part. You have to do something about what you believe. It's not enough to just believe that God heals. It's not enough to just believe that you know, God heals today. You have to believe in your heart that you believe he'll heal you right now. That's what faith is. Faith is stepping out and saying, I take you at your word, God, just like David took Danny at his word. I take your word, God, and I believe I receive. From that moment, from that millisecond, it's settled. I'm healed. Faith takes it without having seen it. Jesus said it this way over in Mark chapter 11. He teaches us about faith. Verse 24, therefore, Jesus says, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and then you'll have them. You don't believe you receive it when you see it. There's no belief necessary at that point. You know it. You believe you receive it. I believe I receive my healing before the pain leaves, but I settle it in my heart. I believe I receive it. Then I'll have it. That's what Jesus says is his definition of faith in action. You have to believe when you pray, not after you're done saying, amen, now I'll believe it when I see it. You see, the world says seeing is believing, and that's a lie. Seeing is knowing. There's no believing necessary once you see it. I don't have to believe my wife is sitting on the front row. I know she's sitting on the front row. Okay? How are we doing, kids? Why don't you come up now? Because you've got to hear till about 5 o'clock tonight with all the scriptures you're getting. Woo! Glory. All right. Where's Paris? Oh, she's coming. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. All right. Just on this balloon alone. Oh, there's some on the back. Oh, my goodness. I'm looking for... Well, there's the big two. Don't see it on that one either. I see the big two, but not the big three. All right. Awesome. These are great. Now, let's talk about, before we get to the scriptures. Oh, sorry. She worked hard for all of those. Okay. Are you going to get an extra one? She's doing the extra credit. Extra credit. Okay. What do you notice? I just want to talk to... See, we didn't practice. Can you jump? Paris, we didn't practice this, did we? No. Okay. All right. You want a chair? You Trevor, you want to get on my shoulders? We'll watch a miracle right now. Up there. No. She's still a foot. She's still a foot shy. Drew, get on his shoulders. All right, Paris, all that extra credit, and it went to the ceiling. But anyway, oh, we're going to get it. Okay. Push it. Yeah, push it this way. Push it to the... Tom, bring your thing back. Let's tie it on again. You hold it. You hold it. Is there a hole through there?
No, I think it's
wrapped. Oh. You just never know what's going to happen in church. You know, this didn't mess up God in any way and didn't mess up the power of God. People are still getting healed today. And there. Okay. All right. So come over next to your brothers here. And what do you notice? Oh, is that what happened? Did he punch that out of your hand? All right. What do you guys notice about the balloons? They have words on it.
They're pink.
They're pink. They have healing scriptures on them.
They're hearts.
Yes, their hearts. You know, when I got the balloons, there was probably 600 balloons in that store. Wow. What do you think the chances are that I would just grab hearts? I 99? I selected the hearts for a specific reason. Do you know why? Because God loves us. That's a good answer, but... Because he heals us, okay? Any other ideas? Anybody else help us? Rose, yes. Oh, because he loves us. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely, he loves us. But Rose, you said what? Okay, so we take the word, we take the scriptures that you have on the balloon, and they're in the shape of a heart because it represents our hearts having to get the word of God. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus talked about the different grounds of people's hearts, and it's only the ones that have ears to hear and purpose to know and understand that will get whatever it is they're believing for. And he talked about the wayside, and he said that the seed, he talked about seeds, and he said, the one that went by the wayside, Satan came and stole it. Well, that's not good. If you don't care to be healed, don't worry, you won't be. Okay, and then the second kind was the stony ground, and that represents things that are in our hearts. It says the people received the word with joy at first, but then persecution came for the word's sake. In other words, the pressure was on when the situation showed up that, you know, when he didn't show up to pick you up, you know. Now what do I got to do? I got to hurry up and find a Greyhound bus, and we don't have Greyhound buses, so. Uber, there you go.
No, he'll just call me.
Okay, he'll just call you. That's right. That's right. You're on the way to Manchester. That's right. So anyway, and then the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and other things come in. And what is that saying? Jesus was saying other things you put more focus on than the Word of God. And it chokes out the Word. It chokes out the power. It chokes out the effectiveness. It chokes out the ability for the word to be powerful and do what it needs to do. Today we're talking about healing, so it would stop that flow of healing. But whose responsibility is it on? Absolutely. It's not God's. God's already done everything he's going to do. By the stripes. Now, that was a good elbow. You don't do that to your brother, do you?
Kind of.
I love when they come up because they're just so honest. Just right like that, right? Yeah, yeah. Well, it's on yours. Where was I? That was yours. What was the scripture? Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. Let's turn to Isaiah 53. Thank you. And thank you. Keep us moving along, because I know some of you got cake on your mind, but we'll have cake. We got a big one. Come on. Jeremiah, Isaiah, before Jeremiah. Doing it left-handed. I don't usually turn my Bible left-handed, but all right, I'm doing a good job. Okay, Isaiah 53, verse 4, surely he has borne our griefs, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, and our distresses. Yeah, you may hold that if you'd like. Whoop. And he carried our sorrows and our pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. Verse 5, but he was wounded for our transgressions. That's our sin. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the price for your sin? I am. Sin's under the blood. It's been washed away. Past, present, and future. Sin is not an issue today. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain our peace and well-being, the Amplified says, was upon him. How many know that you need peace? How many need peace in their life? I mean, you could have all the money in the world and have no peace, and that's not a good life. You could have all the money in the world and have peace, but be sick, and that's no good. God's heart is for us to live in divine health and to actually live in divine wealth, to have an abundance so we can give to others. He said, I'll bless you to be a blessing. And so here he says, needful to obtain your peace, the chastisement was upon Jesus. And with the stripes that wounded him, how many of y'all saw the movie, The Passion of the Christ? Mel Gibson did that. And it showed him being whipped and being flogged and being just tore up. He did that for your healing. He did that for your healing. And it says, the stripes that wounded him, and we are healed and made whole. That word whole means nothing missing, nothing broken. Don't have to be on dialysis the rest of your life. Give you a new kidney if you need a new kidney. Good job. Okay, so I did not see Matthew 8:17. Did anybody say Matthew 8:17? Over here did. Okay. I just didn't see it on the balloons. But anyway, I'll take your word for it, Scott. And Matthew, I just coined these the big three. Isaiah 53, 4, and 5 is the first scripture. Why do I like Matthew 8, 13? Because it confirms Isaiah 53. Okay. You guys are doing a great job. Listen to this, verse 16, Matthew 8. When evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed. Ouch. And he cast out the spirits with a word. See, when you get the power of God inside of you, it doesn't take, you know, 16 weeks of casting out, you know, and having services. He cast them out with a word, and he healed a few of those that were sick. He healed a bunch of them. He healed all of them, didn't he? He didn't leave one out. The Bible says in Acts 10:34 that God is no respecter of persons. That means what he does for one, he'll do for you. If he healed one person, then he'll heal you. If he healed just one person, he'll heal you. You got to know that in your Noah. Everybody remember Noah? I'm not talking about him right now. I'm talking about your Noah. Your knowing. You need to know in your heart that by the stripes Jesus bore, you were healed. And that's, we're going to 1 Peter 2 and 24. That one was on every balloon. And that was confirmation through Peter looking back at the cross. Isaiah was foretelling it, prophecy ahead. Jesus hadn't come yet. God gave that to the prophet Isaiah to share with us that this is what Jesus is coming for, to take away the sin, but to also take away sickness and disease. In 1 John 3 and 8, it's recorded, "For this purpose, the Son of God was made manifest," or came, "that he might destroy the works of the devil." If you've ever seen somebody riddled with cancer, you know that's of the devil. That's not God. And so, 1 Peter, if we get to 1 Peter, chapter 2, my pages are coming out here, and 24, "Who himself," talking about Jesus, "bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed." What tense is that? That's past tense. You were healed. You were healed. Not going to get healed. You were healed. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He came to steal away your health and put sickness and disease on you. But before he ever came and did that, Jesus already paid the price for you to be healed. Because he did that 2,000 plus years ago. So by the stripes he bore, we were already healed. So now that we know the word of God, as we hear the word of God, faith is rising up. Faith will begin to rise up. Do you know Jesus just couldn't heal anybody when he was walking on the earth? Jesus couldn't just heal anybody. It's recorded that he went into his own hometown and could only do a few things, heal a few sick folk because of their doubt and unbelief. They knew Jesus. He said, "We used to play ball with him. We used to go fishing with him. He built me a coffee table." You know, Joseph was carpenter. I'm sure Jesus learned how to use a hammer and whatnot. But because of their doubt and unbelief, they didn't believe. You see, God can't do anything, but you have to believe. He is God, and he can do a miracle on his own if he wants to, but predominantly, he's given us his word to show us that the power is in the word that's already been spoken. God does not have to go back and recreate the earth. He doesn't have to every day say, "Light be." He said it once, and light be, and he's keep being. So the work that God does, what did Jesus say? What was the last thing Jesus said on the cross? "It is finished." What's finished? The work that he was sent to do. To dissolve and undo the works of the devil. To make a way for us to come out of darkness and come into his kingdom. There's just two kingdoms operating on this planet today. You guys are doing great. There's the kingdom of darkness, Satan's kingdom, and there's the kingdom of his dear son, God's kingdom. Bible says over in 1 Peter 3:9, that it's his will, it's his heart, that every single person come unto repentance and come unto the knowledge, the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and come into his kingdom. That's his heart. He's not willing that one would perish. So then how could it be that Jesus, when he was speaking, said, "Wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many take it," because everybody has a free choice. Stupid choice to reject Jesus. That's the only reason somebody will end up in hell, is because of what they do in rejecting Jesus. If you've accepted him, you're in heaven. If you've accepted him, you're in heaven. You're in. You're in the right bunch. You know, Tom Brady's good. He's okay. But I got Jesus on my team. So I win all the time. I just keep playing until I win. So you can't do that with the Patriots. They have 60 minutes. When it's over, if they're losing, they lose. I just keep going. You know, pain hasn't gone yet. I just speak to it again. Pain, you go in Jesus' name. You have no right in my body. I want to show you something. You say, "Oh, I never heard that," speaking to it. Go over to Romans with me. Thank you, Lord. And then we're going to release our faith. And see what the Holy Spirit has. Where did I say? 8? I meant 10. So just go over to 10. Romans 10, 8. That's what I was looking for. But what does it say? The word, here, see, it's coming back to the word. The word is near you. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. The word of God has to be in two places. It has to be in two places. It has to be in your heart. And then let's look what it says. It's in your mouth also. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, Jesus, I make you my Lord. That right there, all those that call on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's that easy. You don't have to go, you know, do a bunch of things and run 5K to get God's attention. Believe me, you're here today, he's at attention. Because he's watching over every one of you, and he's watching over his word to make sure it comes to pass. Jeremiah 1:12. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Goes on to say, for with the heart one believes. David had to believe in his heart that his brother is going to come pick him up. But it's still predicated on his brother doing it. God says, for when with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. If he's over there, I hope he shows up. I hope he shows up. I hope he shows up. See, that's the way some people treat God. I hope he heals me. I hope he heals me. I hope he heals me. That's not faith. You'll get nothing. There you go. So he's got a backup plan for the ride, but with Jesus, he is the deal. He's the only deal. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. I don't care how nice your Muslim friends are, if they believe Allah is saving them, they're wrong. You love them, you pray for them, you don't judge them. The Bible says it's that the goodness of God leads people unto repentance. You show them how good your God is. Go to work tomorrow and show the people at your work how good God is. It doesn't matter if your boss has been unfairly treating you. That can change. That can change it, but it's got to change in your heart first. If you're going to get God to change it, it's got to change in here first. We got to stop pointing our finger and say, change my spouse and then I'll do things right. No, God says you get right and then I'll work on your spouse. Oh, I got some agreements. It usually gets quiet when I talk about that. But it's the truth. Jesus said in John 8 and 31 and 32, I just got to go there. We're almost done. I don't know if that's true. Could we ever be almost done? I don't know. Unless Jesus comes and we go in the rapture. John chapter 8, Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, here, it's back to the word. We can't get away from the word. That's why they came to hear him and be healed. If you abide in my word, you guys are doing a great job. I haven't forgotten you. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth. So you've got to stay in the word if you're going to know the truth. You can't just haphazardly hear it once. Oh, I went to church. Okay, we'll give you a gold star. But that doesn't change your life. You've got to stay in the word. You've got to stay hearing the word. Matter of fact, it's the relationship. Matter of fact, I'm just going to keep preaching because it just keeps coming to me. In Proverbs chapter 4, come on. Proverbs chapter 4, my son, my daughter, give attention to my words. There it is again, the word. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them. And health to all their flesh. We are spirit. We have a soul, mind, will, and emotions, and we just live in this earth suit. But you know what? When this earth suit starts acting up and gets pain in it, it's no fun. You can't be as effective for Christ when you're sick, when you're in bed. God needs you well. I need you well. I need you be strong, ready to stand up at attention. Ready to stand up at attention. Ready to stand up at attention. Thank you. You guys have been so good. Here. It's $20. It's for all of you. Have your mom and dad take you out for ice cream. If you like ice cream. Or do you just like celery and olives? Yeah. Verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence. This is what those four crazy guys and the guy on the stretcher did. They kept their hearts with diligence. When they heard about Jesus, they said, we're getting there. And we're getting him healed. We're playing five this time on basketball and not have him on the sideline cheering for us on the stretcher, you know. This is church. Don't be laughing. Keep your heart. Oh, now you're going to act. You better be smiling. I just gave you $20. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What are the issues of life you're dealing with this morning? You get the word of God on that situation, it will change. I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, the word of God does not return void. It is sent and it accomplishes what it's designed to do. It will prosper in the thing whereto it was sent. I'm watching over my word, my father says, to make sure it comes to pass. If you decree and declare a thing, I'll just preach to you because you're just drawing on it. If you decree and declare a thing, it shall be established. It shall be established. Established means like it's set in concrete. It's happening. No, it's done. See, that's faith speaking. Faith says, I take it. It's done. I'm done with this sickness. I'm done with this thing dogging me. I'm done shooting up insulin. I'm done with it. You got to get done. And you got to say, I'm receiving. You got to say, I'm receiving. It's real easy. Do you believe Danny's showing up? Well, that's still up in the air. But do you believe Jesus is already here? He is here. He didn't leave, and he's okay with us laughing and smiling and having a good time. He wants us to have a good time, and I want this ministry to have such a good time that the kids, you go to school at home, but that's all right. Your neighbors, you want to invite them and say, my God is cool. My God is a good God. My God is a loving God. My God, don't judge me. He's not hitting me over the head with a stick. He's not judging me and telling. He already judged your sin on Jesus, on Calvary, and it's been paid for, bought and paid. And any time Satan comes up before him as a reminder of what you did this week, God opens it up and he says, I find them not guilty. It's under the blood. And when you know how much your father loves you, you don't want to sin anymore. I don't want to sin because of the goodness of God. I want more of his goodness. He's got so much good for you. You'd fall out and faint if you just knew. If he showed you everything that your life could contain, you'd just fall out, just like the Queen of Sheba did. She's a multimillionaire. She's a queen. She goes to see King Solomon, and she fell out because of his vast, enormous, I own this land, and this stuff, and that stuff. And she just fainted. You would, too, if you saw what God's got for you. Before you were ever in your mom's womb, God had a plan and a purpose for you. He's got greatness in you. You have a destiny, Paris, of greatness in you. Don't let anybody tell you you can't, because you can. God is a good God, And he's wired you for greatness. Sometimes you just got to get fed up with what the devil has done and with the doubt and unbelief people have been telling you all your life. You got to be done with it. Some of you might need to change some of your friends because they've just been speaking the wrong things in your ear. I had to give up a whole slew of them from my olden days when I used to, well, my parents aren't here, I can say it. When I used to go drinking. No, they've heard me say it. My mom just slides down in the chair every time I say it. When I saw what God had for me, are you kidding me? I was the last one I thought on this planet that he would ever be a pastor. Are you kidding me? She's laughing because it's my sister. They knew me. They grew up with me. And yet they stuck it out. They've been here 10 years. I had people when we were still at the high school. They were saying, oh, you're just a clique. It's just the Sanborns. I said, they're the ones that show up faithfully every week. They're the ones that are doing all the work. They're not on the payroll. They're doing it because they love God. Hello? And the ones that always complain, they're doing squat diddly. Boy, it got quiet, didn't it? I need a drink, and then we're going to... Oh, I'm back to drinking. Healthy hearing, healthy life. I want everybody that is here today that said that you have something going on in your life and you want God to touch you, I want you to get up on your feet and come up. Every one of you. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you've never accepted him as your Savior, I want you to come up and I want you to tell me. I'll pray with you. I'll introduce you to Jesus. He's the best thing on this planet. Actually, he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But his Spirit is in me. The Spirit of Christ lives in me, lives in everybody that's born again. Look at the people coming. Look at the people coming. We've heard the word, Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he hath borne our griefs. He carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. You can get peace this morning. And by the stripes that wounded him, you were made whole. That it might be confirmed. I think we went to Matthew 8:17. I don't know if I read it. That it might be confirmed that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He had just healed Peter's mother of a fever. See, they like to eat too. Then he got up and she fed him, waited on him. And then 1 Peter 2:24. It's Peter's confirming it, looking back to the cross. He himself bore our sin in his body in the tree, that we might die to sin and live unto righteousness. And by his stripes, say this with me, I was healed. Not going to be, I was healed. I was healed. Would you help me? Okay, all three of you. Here's what we're going to do. What do you got? A what? Ah! Jokester. Power of God's still in you, buddy. And so here's what we're going to do. You've heard the word. He doesn't really have a pet snake. Here's what we're going to do. These three, because they were so brave and they just jumped out of their seats to come up here. But I'm going to have each one of them come and just lay their hands on you. Bible says that in my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You've heard the word, and so your faith has been elevated. And so when they touch you, it's not magic. It's a point of contact. It's just a point of contact. Here's what I want every one of you up here to do. When they lay their hands on you, I want you to say, I take it. Can you do that? Can you remember that? I take it. I receive my healing. Receive means to take. Devil doesn't want you to, but God does. So we're going to go from left to right. Oh, They know their lefts to rights. Thank you, man. They are, no, they're bright kids. They're sharper than me on some things. What are we going to do? We're just going to lay your hands on, if you can reach their forehead. Yeah? Yeah. All right. I'm going to be right with you. All right? Who's the first one up here? Is Nancy, are you up here for somebody else? Okay. Well, it's okay. You just stand in the gap. All right. We'll start with you. All right. Who is it we're standing for? A family member. And what's going on? Total mess meltdown. Sounds like they need peace. They need everything. All right. Do they know the Lord? They know the Lord. Okay. Well, they've got covenant rights. All right. Just lay your hands on Nancy, all three of you. In the name of Jesus, we release peace as she stands in the gap for a family member. We believe that that peace is going to her. Nancy's going to carry it. Nancy's going to lay her hands on them. Hold your hands up, Nancy. Put your hands on her hands. In the name of Jesus, we declare and decree that this person would be unmessed up. Holy Spirit, you know exactly what's going on in this person's life. And we stand in the gap and we hook up our faith together for things to be uprighted. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Robert, you up here for what's going on? I'm not going to ask everybody. You know what it is you need. You just release your faith, okay? Lay your hands on him in the name of Jesus. Just release that power. And he receives it. He receives it. It's his. They came to hear and be healed. Didn't even say Jesus laid his hands, did it? Said they came to hear him. And they left healed. Doesn't say they had a healing line. I did it simply because Holy Spirit instructed me to. And said, just tell him. It's just a point of contact. That's when you release your faith. You come into agreement. Okay? In Jesus' name. It's a done deal. Next. Next. It's a done deal. Come over. Come over. Hold your hands out. We'll just do that. We'll have them touch your hands. You just hold your hands out. And this is your hands are up. You're receiving. Amen? Receiving. In the name of Jesus. We just release the power of God. What's your name, hon? Julie. We release the power of God into Julie. See how easy this is? It's not our power. It's God's power in you going into Julie. We declare her healed in Jesus' name. We declare what God's word says, that by the stripes Jesus bore, Julie is healed. Amen. Next, Bob. Bob, yes, we got some behind. We'll come as we won't miss you. My guys won't let anybody get missed. He receives it. Do you hear that? He receives it. Then he's healed, isn't he? In the name of Jesus, God's a good God. Okay, amen. Amen. Hi. What do you receive? You take it? You take it? Emma takes it. It's hers. It's that easy. It's that easy. It's got to be in here. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your heart. It's got to be in your heart. You know this is God. We got three kids here. But you know what? God works through kids that believe. These three are believers. They're believers. They're not doubters. Amen. Amen. Jen, over here. This is Jen. In the name of Jesus, we release the power of God. Yeah, 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 yeah. You can say that too. I'll get your names wrong too, just like David and Danny. Who are you, Trey? Isaiah. See, I got that one wrong too. Trey and Isaiah, they're brothers. Yes, power twins with Paris right in the middle. Amen. Yeah, yeah. No wonder you're a good girl. You're the only girl. Oh, we'll talk later. You get two pieces of cake. In Jesus' name, Jen, you are healed. By the stripes Jesus bore, that healing anointing is going into her body, the top of her head, soles of her feet. All right, done deal. Stephanie, welcome. I've met you before, though. Yeah, of course we have. I remember you. Yeah. You just receive it, Stephanie, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we send the power of God, that anointing. The anointing destroys yokes. Destroys means can never be fixed again. So whatever the devil's put in your body to hinder you or to destroy you, we break that power. We break that power in Jesus' name. We declare you healed and made whole. Amen. Next. Come on. Hey, friend, I know you. Kids, take a hold of her hands. You just release the power of God. The power of God's inside of you. You know that? Holy Ghost is in you. Full grown up Holy Ghost. No junior Holy Ghost. You kidding me? Power of God all over you. In Jesus' name. You standing in proxy for your daughter too? Stand in the gap? She was dead and God brought her back. That's a good God. Yep. Oh, well, that's not good. How is she doing? They won't let you see her. Well, we just bring the situation up to you, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just declare your hand over this family. We speak the peace of God into her mind right now. And Father, I just pray that you would right side up this thing that has gone on. We declare it so in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Take hold of that. And hold out your hands in Jesus' name. My goodness, look at the people. Everybody. Everybody's healed. Everybody receives. Okay, then I take you at your word. She receives it. The power of God going into you. Yep. Done deal. Yep. I just got this word from the Lord for you. Just draw a line in the sand and you tell the devil you're not crossing over anymore. You're not crossing over anymore. Because Ann's on this side and Ann's a king's kid. So you don't let the devil over there. You have a say in it, Ann. Do not let him. You resist him. Come on. Under stress, stress is under the blood. No more stress. Stress free in Jesus' name. I declare, stop talking about what isn't happening and start magnifying God. Lift up your hands to heaven. God, I thank you that your hand is upon Ann in her house situation and everything else that's going on in her life. And we declare and decree she shall have the victory in Jesus' name. Thank him. Thank you, Lord. It's a done deal from this moment on. Sometimes you got to get a little snippy with the devil. He doesn't play fair. Some of you might have to draw a line, say, no more. Not letting you dog me. You dog. Yeah. Beth, you receive it. You receive it. I can tell in your eyes you're receiving it. See, you can tell. You can tell when the power of God goes into somebody. And I don't even feel it. I can see it. In Jesus' name.